Oh my god. My dream is to go to the bathroom and come out and Oprah's.
And she's like, I don't mean to interrupt, but can I give you some advice? Could you imagine Oprah even needing to be like,
I'd be like,
can I give you advice?
I'd be like, nah, Oprah, I'm good.
I know how to live my life better than you.
I don't know, mind your own. we're good here, Oprah.
Clearly, I have my life under control.
This isn't one of your little... See, now I'm talking bad about Oprah. This isn't how I get in good with Oprah. So, Oprah, I love you. Change clothes
and go. Hi, guys. I'm Megan Collins of Style Girlfriend, and welcome to another episode of Undressed. If you can't tell, I am getting over a cold, so I apologize if I either sound like a boy going through puberty or an old woman who has smoked 10 packs of cigarettes all of her life a day. I am neither, I swear. But I'm here. We're back after a break last week, and while I feel bad about that, I don't honestly feel that bad because this episode is a really good one. And I want to also thank you guys for everyone who subscribed on iTunes and left reviews. If you haven't yet, you should definitely go do that now before it's too late. Subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, however you listen to podcasts, go listen to this there. Today, our guest is Rembert Brown. Rembert was, until literally very, very recently, a culture writer for the now-defunct Grantland. His cultural commentary on everything from Outkast to Pretty Little Liars was one of the reasons that Grantland was a daily read for me, and I will miss Grantland very much, but thankfully not Rembert, because he's around, you know? So while I'm still going through all of the stages of grief on losing Grantland, I am really excited about this conversation because it's pretty much all I've wanted to talk about with him, and I got it all on tape for you. If you don't know, Rembert was actually plucked from obscurity, grad school, however you want to put it, by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Simmons, back in 2011. Now, Simmons, of course, you guys know, was unceremoniously dumped back in May by ESPN after his contract expired. He's now headed to HBO, which is really getting the cool dad contingent covered. They just scooped up Jon Stewart. Good stuff happening at HBO. Guys, call me. Rem and I met the way that all good millennials should, on Twitter. I think I tweeted at him not too long after he started at Grantland, honestly, and he tweeted back, and then we were best friends, because that's how it works. And I don't know, what can I say about him? He's a great guy. I feel really lucky to be able to call him a friend. And my voice is continuing to go, even as I'm sitting here talking to you. So I am going to quit yapping and get right into it. Here's a conversation with Rembert Brown. Enjoy. I am here with Rembert Brown in what is perhaps the truest iteration of what Undressed is meant to be. We are sitting on your freshly made, I hope,
yes,
bed.
Yes, always. False.
Well, Brittany is sitting on the floor. Poor Brittany. And I think I want to start with a simple question.
Okay.
How is your week?
Week is great. I think this is my first week without a job since like mid-2011. And even before then, I was in school. So like this is my first week. This is my first week with nothing to do since probably like 1999. Like, it's like not vacation because I have a job coming up
right
in 2 weeks. But it is very weird to... Like, I haven't checked in with anyone. I haven't, like, asked anyone if I need to do anything.
You have a margarita in each hand.
but I'm being healthy.
Right.
Like, I'm typically, like, the harder I work, the more unhealthy I am. So now I don't have that much work to do, and I'm, like, drinking water and, like going on runs. Like, I don't like this. So I need to start working again.
So for those who skipped over the introduction, Rembert Brown is formerly of the now, not defunct, but suspended.
No, it's gone. It's done.
It's done.
It's done.
Of the now dunzo Grantland and future of New York Magazine starting in 2 weeks?
Yeah, November 16th. They're going to let me write things.
Like lots of things.
Like lots of things. I'm so excited. I still don't even know like how, what it's going to turn into, but it's going to be fun. And they've invested a lot of trust into me and vice versa. So,
and you were pretty,
gonna be,
I mean,
gonna be cool.
You went the Bachelor route. Like you talked to a lot of people before deciding on New York Mag. So you got to feel good about this decision.
Like the show.
You handed over the final rose.
Yes. Yeah. I hadn't really dip my toe in the water to see like if I was employable in this industry ever. Because the last time I was looking for a job like this, I was like coming out of college and it was a recession, and the answer was always no. Like, we have $4 to pay you this year. I was like, okay, well, probably not. It made sense to kind of just talk to everyone and take everything seriously and not assume anything was outside of the realm of possibility, which was fun, and then got very nerve-wracking. And then I was like, I might just talk to people and interview forever. And never get a job, which almost happened. Like, very close to happening.
So then let's back up. Talk to me about when you were coming out of school, because, I mean, you weren't totally planning on doing what you're doing now.
No, I wanted to, because I wrote for my school paper, and I was...
In high school or college?
In college.
And you went to?
The Dartmouth, America's oldest college newspaper. shout out. And
that's going to get a lot of play.
And... Yeah, this is only... I'm only plugging brands and universities here. I had, like, a column for, like, a year and a half. And
sex column.
It was fun. Yes, it was only about adult sex and... it's actually about student life. And... That was great, and I was like, oh, maybe this will turn into something professionally. But I also graduated in 2009, so that was like the height of the recession. I applied to a place, and they were like, yeah, like we'd love for you to come work here, like a magazine. And then they were like, we might not be able to pay you for like 18 months, but you should still come work here. And I was like...
Full time. Sure.
I was like, yeah,
as one does.
Yeah, I'd already signed my lease in New York. It was just, like, living off of, like, the end of my graduation money, which is not a lot. And so, yeah, so I just kind of put that on the back burner for a couple years, went to grad school.
Well, what was that transition, though? I mean, you moved here, you tried to get a job.
Yeah, so my roommate, so I lived with my best friend from home, Ben.
Shout out, Ben.
Shout out to Ben. And he was working at Starbucks.
No. Did he go to Dartmouth too?
No, he went to Georgia. I've known him since I was like 10. We both moved here and signed a lease.
That's not better, by the way. He went to Georgia. That's okay then that he's working at Starbucks.
And
still bad.
We signed a lease in the Village, because we're smart.
Sure.
We had a 7-floor walk-up. We were subletting for Michael Bublé's drummer, who was on world tour.
Fantastic. I think I would actually take that apartment, too.
Yeah, it was...
That's, like, the perfect first apartment in New York City.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And we were just, like, trying to do anything we could do to pay our rent. So he had Starbucks. I had gotten, like, this job doing... consulting for the Department of Transportation. So I worked in Roosevelt Island for a couple months.
Is that the one with the, like,
the tram?
The tram?
Yes.
Great. Is that scary or is that fun? I've never been on it.
I mean, I think it depends on who you are. It's scary for me because I don't like being off of the ground.
Yeah.
And then as one does, you just apply for grad school when you don't know what to do. Luckily, I didn't do like a law school or anything, like,
right.
Super dumb.
Did you have any frustration around the sense that, like, I should have this figured out by now? Were you, like, was there any moment of, like, I'm a smart guy, I should have the job I want, or I shouldn't have to go to grad school to give myself a buffer?
No, I mean, everyone was so... Maybe that would have happened, like, in another time in history, maybe, but everyone was so... Like, no one had figured it out. Like, everyone... Like, 2009 and 2010 New York was, like, the grime... Like, everyone I knew that I was friends with was just, like... In such,
just like a shoulder shrug. Like it was era.
It was like a very humbling time to like go to college for 4 years and think you were the shit, and then be reminded that you're not. Which I've like held with me very close to this day.
So there's no sense of entitlement.
No, like, I was like, yeah, I hope it gets better. It probably will.
And was your family comfortable with that as sort of a retreat for you? I mean, I know your mom's in education.
For my family, like. School is not a retreat. School is like what you do. So they were like, why would you not go to school immediately? You know, taking a year off was like absurd. When I went back to school, my mom was like, yes.
Like about time.
Yeah. And then when I dropped out, she was like, to go like right on the internet, she was like, oh, God. Like, that was at the same time that I had started blogging and freelancing and Grantland had just started and they were looking for like some young writers who weren't just like established, you know, like big feature, like 4,000 word piece, mammoth piece writers. And they like realized that they needed some people to kind of just like crank out stuff. So,
and when you say they, I mean, early on, that really was,
I mean, it was like eight people. Yeah. It was like eight people.
So how were you discovered?
I just got an email. It's a great email. It's just like,
how's that not printed out somewhere?
It's just like, because I'm not a complete narcissist. I mean, it's very easily findable in my Gmail should I need to ever bring it out.
Okay.
I know the keywords to pop up alone. But yeah, it was just like a holy shit moment when you get an email out of the blue. It's like, oh, so this, I should take this seriously. This could be a thing. And then it
was like, there any thought to like, let me just get through this final semester?
Well, yeah, they didn't want to take me out of grad school. They were like, we were more than like, if you want to finish and then come work here, like, so be it. But when I was like, no, I'm sure, they're like, great, let's go.
Let's do it.
Great. So that was my first day full time was November 1st. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of what? 12?
2011.
11. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah. So, like, when October 30th was my last day, it was, like, actually four years.
Wow.
It was college. It was like internet college. I went to internet college.
And you had some great classmates.
Just smart idiots that I love.
Have you talked to everyone since...
Yeah, I talk to most people. I mean, you know, there's like a big bunch in LA, there's a big bunch in New York, and then there's like the folks that are scattered about. So like the folks who were in New York, I've like almost seen everyone in public. I mean in person. I saw most of them on Friday when they shut down the site because we all just got terrific.
Many drinks. Oh, I know. I saw you after.
I was just like, it was like 3 p.m. and I was like, yes. So yeah, I think I was in a kind of a different place because I already knew that was my. It was a very weird last day.
I mean, it was, yeah.
Because up until like 11 a.m., I was like, yeah, this is my last day, and I'm like,
it was your actual last day on Friday.
Yeah, like my contract was up at midnight on October 30th, and so I was like dealing with like those emotions and like, but I was like, yeah, but like my people are still here. It's still a good site. It's still going to keep going for as long as it can.
So what happened that day? Because I know a lot of people, obviously Bill left in May. Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Bill got fired.
Well, okay. So Bill's contract expired. It was not renewed. ESPN let out a very, curt press release.
Yeah, that was May.
And I know that day, you had no idea that was happening. I remember we talked about it you said you got up out of the subway and all these people had texted you saying, hey, are you okay?
Yeah. What's going on? It was so wild. Like, my phone was just, like on a constant vibrate. I was like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. I'd been working in the offices for about, like, probably, like, a year, almost a year and a half. So I was going, I mean, I went in every day. And so, yeah, someone, like, turned their phone around and showed me the Time story. And I was like, oh, okay.
So you didn't know that was coming. Just like on Friday, you didn't know. You were writing your last piece.
I was writing my last piece. And one of my editors, Mark Lasanti, was like, hey, man, like, might want to stop writing. I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'll finish it. I'm close, like, to finishing. And I was like, Mark, I'm, like, half an hour away. He was like, no, like, I think it's done. Like,
and what time was this?
This was, like, I think it was, like, 10:45, 11.
And the announcement was made to the press.
So the announcement was made at, we were told, like, officially at, like, 1 something, like 1:50 or something like that. And then, like, we'd gotten out of our meeting to be told the press release was out. I was like, oh, cool.
Right, so, they released it at, like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you found out that your site was being shut down 10 minutes before.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's when I was, I knew. I mean, I knew, you know, when someone says, like, effective immediately, Grantland, like, is shut down, I'm like, that's, like, it becomes very real. Like, right. I had about 2 hours of speculation and,
yeah,
you know, I'd asked some people around the room who probably knew more than me, and they were like, I think this is what's happening. So I started to pack up my desk, and then after the meeting, and just, like, packed everything up, wrote my address on a piece of paper, and was like, ship it here. And then me and Andy Greenwald, and Zach Lowe, our basketball writer, and Lindsay, our art director, just went to a really dark bar. And the bar, it was so funny. The playlist in this, like, we walked in and they were, every song was it was like a Spotify,
like Spotify, like, playlist.
Like, selected.
So your company's best just been shut down.
Like, sadness and, like, things being over. Like, I remember at one point, like, when
They are great at curating.
When a lot of people showed up, like, at one point there were, like, 30 people there, plus, like, random people who, like, figured out where we were. And
really?
Were just, like, coming through.
Just, like,
and,
fans?
Like, buying people drinks.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think everyone knew that that moment was going to come at some point.
Right.
I think most of us thought maybe, like, sometime next year.
Right.
Obviously, just the immediate, like, cord pull, I don't think, I mean, there's no way anyone really could have known that was coming more than, like, a day before. Because I don't think the decision was made more than a day before, even though I think a lot, like, the slow trickle out of people, like, leaving every 2 weeks, I think it, you know, I think they were trying to just, like, in that.
Right.
Instead of just, like, you know, every 2 weeks, like, another story about someone leaving. They're like, you know what, let's just end it, which is rude, but
whatever. Well, when you say people were mad, I mean, have people been mad since May? Like, what's been the sentiment?
I don't think it's mad. I think it's like, it was still a good site. So, I think confused.
Confused.
Yeah, I mean, I think mad is like a, it's like a, it's kind of a waste of an emotion to have because you can't really control it. Like, we're not in control of the site. We're in control of, like, the writers and editors were in control for the most part of what went up. And how it was presented.
But it makes it no less Bill's baby. I mean, the site wouldn't be what it was without his leadership and without his curating.
That's true.
The writers that did.
That's 100% true. None of it, we wouldn't be there. I think there's a world in which the site like had certain things happen after Bill left. I think there's a world in which the site just, you know, even if the personnel is different, site carries continues on, just becomes like a site the way.
Well, I think if anything, that's why I would be mad, right? Is like there was a, this could have ended so differently, or it could have not ended. That's
yeah, it could have just not ended.
Right. Well, what did Bill tell you when he left? I mean, I know you guys obviously stay in touch. Like when you got out of the subway and found he was no longer your boss, what did he tell you?
I mean, he didn't really have much to say. He was just like, so that happened. I was like, yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, I was like, you know, like Bill and I are friends. So, you know,
I've never had that situation where like someone above me has like gotten the boot.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation. I think for me, I had to make a decision like, okay, so I'm going to see how it plays out and what post-Bill Grantland looks like. And if it's a place I want to work, I'll keep working here. If it's a place I don't want to work, I'm going to start to figure out the necessary steps to leave.
Yeah. And did he make sure that you didn't feel that no one felt like loyalty was divided? Like there was no, you know, Jerry Maguire moment of like, we're all going to rush out behind you. I mean, people did leave, but it wasn't immediate. And it wasn't, you know, there was no backlash immediately in the media of, you know, any of you guys publicly badmouthing ESPN or anything like that, which I thought was very classy.
Yeah.
Considering how they handled it.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to realize like, it's, you know, they pay us. I think it was, I think it was classy. It was also like,
but there's ways around that, right? I mean, you can anonymously talk to Gawker or whatever. I mean, there's ways of letting your feelings be known.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think for years we're pretty much like a not air our grievances bunch. It was like, let's just do our jobs, not really become a part of the kind of gossip cycle of like, you know, people. I had media reporters like texting me and emailing me for months, like asking me to talk on record about stuff. And I was like, I don't like any of you. Like, please go away. Like, please go away. Like, I just like want to do my job. I'm not also trying to make this more of a story than it already is. I'd rather just try to figure out my own stuff and also write.
Maybe it's too insider baseball, but like, what do you see Grantland's role being as like an example for what a media platform can be? And do you think that it'll have that effect? Like, do you think that it's going to, its legacy of pay writers well, you know, make it be about quality instead of quantity? Do you think that that's a form that can continue to exist?
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I think it's a pretty,
I mean, it sounds so simple. It sounds very like, you know, palm to forehead, but that's not really the case.
I don't know why it hasn't been, like, even in the 4 years. I mean, there have been lots of sites that have kind of adopted that model, which is like, you have someone, you build a site around a person. It's not rocket science, but it is like very hard. Cause like, you actually have to hire the right people. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just hire like first 20, like, hot people you find. Like, you have to like actually like find what the holes you need are, and like they actually have to be good but also work in terms of their personalities, like they,
right?
So
it's not just a content writer, it's a personality.
Yeah. So and it's like, you know, I think that's the other thing. It's like, we didn't have any obligations in terms of what type of content we had to put out. Like, that's, I mean, ultimately that's the biggest thing, is like we were putting out stuff that was very opposite of what like the typical kind of content driven focus of the internet is, which is like, if something happens, like, it doesn't make much sense in terms of how the internet works now to just write like 2,500 weird words on Drake. Like, that's like, why would you, like, literally, why would you do that? Like, you have to build up trust. It took a while. It took years for the site to get to that point where people would buy into that type of stuff. So it's for a site, if a site wanted to start something like that, it wouldn't happen overnight. You know, like, people have to become trusting in the site, and we have to become trusting in the individuals, and have to become trusting in the type of stuff that those individuals put out. But I mean, it's obviously possible because it worked. I just don't know. I don't know when. I mean, it'll probably happen again. I just don't know when.
I mean, I think arguing the other side, some might say that ESPN no longer wanted to bankroll a site that wasn't making as much money as other properties. And so I think if something like that is going to work again, I think that it has to be with a company that values the quality and values the content that's being put out more than it's valuing how much it's bringing in display advertiser revenue.
Yeah. I know that there was, like...
And that's not your side of it, so that's not something that you necessarily have to have an opinion on, but I think that's, you know, what people might argue.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
To your point, like, if Drake isn't the SEO-friendly term of the day, which, when is Drake not the SEO-friendly term of the day? Let's be real. Yeah. But, like, if that's not what people necessarily are searching for, then, I mean, there's a place to say that's not what you should be writing about. Like, there, you know, there is someone who could logically tell you to write about something different, and they wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah.
So how, you know, where do you meet in the middle? Because you do need, if you're going to have a site where it's kind of just, like you said, you take time to build up an audience and trust that that audience is smart enough to care about what you have to write about, even if that's not necessarily what they're seeking out, then you are going to need a big corporation behind you to bankroll that until it's profitable or until it's, you know, well-regarded enough that it doesn't matter if it's profitable or not.
Yeah. I mean, I think the amount of money you need to do it is often seen as, like, the most important, but it actually isn't. Like, I think it's, like, obviously an important thing because you just need enough money to hire the people you want. A lot of the people that worked at Grantland, like, literally didn't have media jobs before and probably would have said yes to come work here for, like, it would have been like, oh yes, like, I get to work at Grantland, like, right.
But also not like it'll be 18 months before you can pay you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's just like, I think people are like, oh well, we need like $6 billion to pull off Grantland. It's like, no, you just like actually have to like know how to hire people and like know how to spot talent and get them all to work together and have editors that are like really good and, you know, and if you're like a big corporation that's funding it, like let them do their own thing, you know? So, that like a lot of the stuff, cause, and that's the other thing, like the past like week or I guess even since May, like Grantland's been like a very interesting things that people from the outside have had like musings over about what went wrong, what didn't, blah, blah. And like most of the stuff is just wrong and dumb.
I'm
and
still
like,
waiting for the oral history, like, of Grantland.
You know, oh my god, can't wait to get that call.
That anthology is gonna be amazing.
Can't wait to get that call. It's like, oh yes, what do you want to know? I have stories, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I leave. Like, all things considered, it's like, you know, I don't leave with much, like, ill will towards anyone. It's like, even people that I think made bad decisions are, like good people. Just,
and
like,
we'll hear about them in the oral history.
Didn't make the right decisions, but, like, there's good people that played a part in me, you know, having a job for 4 years and getting to do stuff that I wouldn't have been able to do anywhere else. So it's like, yeah, I can be like I'm often upset and I'm often mad. And sometimes I just like have bursts where I need to vent and this and that. But it's like, you know what? It's a really good site. It's over. Cool. Got a new job. And
I feel like we're talking to you, you know, in the morning. It's a beautiful day out. Like, I should come back and like re-interview you like some night after like a night at a bar like the one that mentioned, and you'll be like, that was like that. I mean, it could
be a completely different.
Yeah,
like I've had like a nice water.
Right, you're hydrated. Nice. You're feeling good.
Great.
So it's nothing but love right now.
I'm very zen about it today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, like literally, who knows how I'll feel tomorrow?
Well, let me ask you a couple more questions about Grantland because I'm actually still in. my morning period because it was one of my, you know, morning daily reads. So if anyone has any suggestions on a new site to hit to get the things that I kind of need to know. Not really.
Yeah.
Is that the best way to describe
it? I was also a reader.
Right.
I also read Marilyn all day.
I know.
So it's like, even yesterday, it's like, I have to find other ways to.
Right.
You know, not get information, like just like pure
get
information.
Get entertainment.
But just like be entertained and be like, have my mind thought-provoked and stuff like that.
What was your favorite story that you wrote while you were there?
My favorite story? I think my favorite story is because...
I have a couple different picks if you need some help.
It's the one that took the longest and was like the wildest, I think. I don't even know what year this was. I think it might have been 2012. It's more of like an experiment. I did a bracket of the best Chappelle show skit. It took me forever, not because it was such like a gigantic endeavor,
which it was though.
It was more like I just like didn't know that I was just like so torn. I would spend like a couple days just like thinking about like who should go to the next round. I'd be like, because I was like this is I knew that it was gonna be like a big thing and something that so many people had opinion on, so I was like, I have to get it right. Like the premise is just like, what's the best Chappelle skit? Like that can be handled in so many different ways. I could just pick one and just write about it. I could, you know, I could rank them. I could, but to just do it, to blow it out as large as I possibly could, and spend as much time as I possibly could on it. And then to like see the result and how it looked and the response, it's like, oh, so it is good when you spend more time on things and like drive yourself insane. Like when you do that, people appreciate that and respond well because like you're insane and they appreciate your insanity for like the greater good.
Well, they want their obsession reflected back at them,
exactly.
Right?
That's like, exactly what it is.
People have absolutely spent entire evenings or weekends or however long debating it amongst themselves. Yeah. So to know that you spent that time and like you're someone that they respect. But so like, it's like, if he's crazy enough to care about this, then I get to too.
Yeah. So that was great. I love that. I might go back and read it. I haven't read it in probably like 2 years, but I might do that today. I might do that today.
Yeah.
And like,
what else do you have to do?
And be terrified of, you know, when you go back and read old stuff.
What if you feel like you got it wrong? What if they're like, in the Sweet 16, you're like, no.
I might. I was more like, you know, I go back and read old stuff all the time. Just like haze myself.
Sure.
Because you're just like, oh man, like I'm so glad I don't write that way anymore.
I think if you don't look back at things that you've done, even as recently as like 6 months ago, and just feel horrified, then you're doing something wrong.
Doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Or you're just perfect.
Right. One or the other.
Or you're just a perfect being.
That must happen to so many people that aren't us.
Just so perfect.
What's... now I'm jealous of those people that do just look back and are like, oh, that was so great.
God,
I'm such a good writer.
Oh my God, I was so good at writing when I was 14. Oh my God.
Oh God, those people. What was the story you wish you'd written?
Oh, I wanted to do the beauty of it is like, this is going to happen one day, even if I have to like lose my mind and go under and like change my name. Like I've wanted to do a profile on Tyler Perry for 4 years.
And
it's really hard to get to him. I'm going to have to,
he's always wearing disguises.
Like I, there it is. I'm gonna have to go through Oprah. Like I tried to go like the normal route, just got shut down. Tried to go around the way, got security. They're like,
mm-mm.
No, like you can't talk to Tyler.
Does he give them any?
No, he gives interviews to Oprah.
To Oprah. So you have to get in and go with Oprah.
So yeah, I gotta, and then so that's a whole thing. That's not the easiest thing.
Mm.
I'm gonna have to like talk to. I gotta like go through like maybe Ava DuVernay. I gotta I gotta get to Oprah, get Oprah's blessing, and then maybe.
Oh my god, I have to tell you.
Tyler will say this.
My friend told me the most amazing story the other day. She was in Vegas.
Okay.
As one is. And she had just broken up with her boyfriend, and she was in the bathroom with some girlfriends, and they'd been drinking, and, you know, this and that and the other. And she was kind of, like, doing the, like, girl sob about, like, why hasn't he called me? He doesn't care about me anymore.
Love that.
And literally, no joke, out of a bathroom stall comes Oprah, and she's like, and I can't do an Oprah impression, but I'm just gonna, like, honey, let me ask, what's your name? And she goes, Emily. She goes, Emma, which is like the best part of the story she just immediately said her name wrong and just kept on going. And she like gave her advice. Like she was just like, basically to the effect of like, listen, if he's not crying over you, then why are you crying over
Oprah.
Him? And Emily was just like, to this day, she's like, I don't know if it was like a 30 Rock where it's like, did that really happen? But it was all of her girlfriends and they all say it happened. But like, is that not the best thing to ever happen in the entire universe?
That's my dream.
Like Oprah comes out of a bathroom stall in Vegas sometime at night. And it's just like, honey child, I am going to tell you how to live your life and it's going to be perfect from here on out. And now Emily is a perfect person.
Public bathrooms.
I know. She was like with people. She had people.
That's like the biggest shock of the whole story. That Oprah.
What else did I want to ask you? Oh, what's the best advice that you ever received from Bill? Whether it was like feedback on an article or just, I don't know, Oprah life advice. Does Bill ever come out of the bathroom stalls and just tell you how to live your life? Because that would be great.
Bill's not that famous.
You wouldn't be as excited, I guess.
He did tell this. He did say that his hiring mantra was like no assholes, which I always respected. Like I think there were like lots of talented people that he really wanted to hire, but was like nah. And I always respected that. Just as something to, just in terms of like, you have to like these people you work with, you also have to like want to be around them, you know. So like even someone's like really good but like is terrible, it's like like you would probably write some good stuff for us, but like I don't even want to like see you. So it's probably not going to work out. So I always, like, appreciated that and respected. That wasn't really, like, advice to me. Just kind of, like, life advice in terms of how to go about picking who's in your inner circle of sorts.
And that had to have informed your search for your new job, too. The last thing I want to know is, so it's been 4 years? It's 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do anything differently?
Oh my god, yeah. You know those people who are like no regrets? Those are the dumbest people I've ever. Anyone that says that is an idiot. Anyone that's ever said
Beefs
that.
I think, no regrets, people.
Oh my god, I hate when people say that. It's so dumb. Yeah, I'd like change everything. Like, I mean, I would like sometimes like go to sleep earlier and wake up earlier so I could like not be hungover when I wrote a certain piece, or like spend more time thinking about the questions I was going to do with a Q&A instead of like figuring it out like in a cab on the way.
Is that a judgment on me and my notes on my phone?
No, that's great. I think the lack of, so like these are things that I would have done so many things different, but because they happen and because I like felt what it's like to like mess up so many times, you know, like the outside observer probably doesn't know, but internally, like there are just countless things that I could have done so much better. But now that I know that, it like informs the way I,
so you took those lessons and you actually did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like I am someone that, is a quick learner. Once I like feel that feeling of messing up, the reason it's unfortunate because it typically takes messing up to to realize it. I don't just like realize things on their own. I like often like push the boundary and then like, don't want to feel like that anymore. So it's like, okay. So like,
but sometimes it does. It takes the feeling of like, oh, I never want to be looked at as unprepared in that way or unprofessional in that way. Like I definitely hear that.
I don't like disappointing my superiors. My least favorite feeling professionally is like someone above me knowing that like I was at like 60% when I could have been at 100, or even 80% when I could have been at 100. And
but that's also a factor of having superiors that you respect. Because if you had a boss that you were like, whatever, screw you, then you wouldn't care if you disappointed them. It's sort of like how sometimes the worst punishment when you're a kid can you be your parent just saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And you just die inside. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not glad all those things happened. I am, but now I take them for what they are, which is just like, cool. So, you know, that's what happened. Like, you had a job between 24 and 28. Like, you were obviously going to, like, mess up a lot. You know,
so you kind of are no regrets about it.
No,
I think we just backed into you feeling like,
here's the thing. I'm like no regrets, really. I'm like a no regrets person.
If I've learned anything,
I'm just like, just never have regrets. It's like, that's kind of what I want to say about all this.
And like, that's been this like, episode of Life Lessons like, with Remmert. No regrets. Let's move into grade yourself. I want you to give yourself a letter grade.
Okay.
Grade yourself on your level of fitness right now.
Level of fitness. My answer is D.
You're giving yourself a D in fitness. It's a pretty rough assessment.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, you know, I'm like a just an incredible athlete. but it's a D because I know like myself as an A. I think next week, like my week before work, is when I'm going to, like, actually start to get in the mindset of new.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of, like, my week to just, like, okay, like, everything that happened, like, it's all kind of ending now. And so, yeah, I think if we did this in 2 weeks, I'd be, like, a B minus.
Okay. What about relationships?
Like a B plus. Right now I'm at like a B, but I don't like not being at an A. I'm like I like being at an A in terms of being good when it comes to my relationships.
Spirituality.
Oh, like always. Like I think I'm like so A, so at peace right now. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just like, I'm chill.
And then finally, style.
Style.
You're currently wearing sweatpants, a Henley under. What's happening here? It's like a baseball jersey.
It's a Jordan. You probably can't tell because I don't like to brag that much about how good all of my clothes are. But
it looks vintage. Can I say that?
Yeah, this is from 96.
Okay.
It's when Jordan came out of retirement.
Oh.
Which is why they were making Jordan baseball stuff.
That makes more sense now. Thanks.
Around Space Jam era? Or post-Space Jam era? I think my style right now is at a A-minus because I have a lot of laundry to do. And so I'm not able to access all of my style because a lot of it is dirty. And I'm upset about that. In 4 hours, my grade will be different because all of my clothes will be clean. And they will be, like, very OCD folded.
Mm.
Also, like, this is my ideal clothes weather.
Mm-hmm.
Fall.
Yeah.
This is layers.
A gorgeous fall. Like, yeah, you just can wear a jacket if you want, but
it's just,
yeah.
Fall's the best.
Fall is definitely the best for guys. You have, like, the most options.
Yeah.
You can make the most interesting looks without necessarily having to think about functionality.
Yeah.
Just fashion.
I do miss shorts.
See you next summer.
How are you going to do shorts? So, yeah.
I think you're the first person that's given himself 2 A's.
My God. I mean, in like literally in 4 hours, it's going to be 4 A's. No, fitness won't be it.
No, fitness not going to be
it. Fitness might go down, actually.
So might I might have to hit like rock bottom A's before it gets
F.
better.
3 A's and an F. That, like, sums up my life. There's one part of my life that I'm doing terribly at, and the rest is, like...
I think that's actually pretty impressive. I appreciate that kind of confidence. I feel like people want to downplay that they're good at anything, and I think that's a bummer. Now it's time for SG approved or not this dude. We're going to change it up, and it's going to be Remember Brown approved Arby approved or not this dude? Okay, starting with Taylor Swift.
You know what? She is. She is Arby approved. Taylor Swift. Absolutely. I don't like her. But I think at this point, you just have to be a hater to be like, she's not like absolutely killing it.
Okay. Mittens.
Mittens. Just absolutely not. They're just so dumb. Not this dude.
Going to bed angry.
Not this dude. I'll do anything to go to sleep happy.
Selfies.
Not this dude.
Monday morning status meetings.
Not this dude. I'm a Sunday night status meeting person.
Whoa.
I like to go into Monday knowing what's up. I don't like waking up on Monday and figuring it out.
Take that, Monday. Hometown hookups at Thanksgiving.
I am at this age. I got it. Not this dude.
Sneakers with a suit.
Not this dude because I can't pull it off.
Ooh.
It's one of the things I wish I could pull off. I can't. I mean, really, like, Sudeikis can, and no one else can.
Looks so great in sneakers and a suit.
Why would I try to do something that Sudeikis can do? I can't do anything Sudeikis can do. He's the god. And Robert Kraft, the guy who owns the Patriots. He wears suits and sneakers.
Oh, yeah?
He wears suits and SB Dunks.
Ooh, all right, respect for that. Yoga.
I respect it. It's fine. Not this dude. I have a really stiff back.
Pumpkin spice anything.
I don't like pumpkins. Pumpkin anything.
Office romances.
Not this dude.
No?
It's just like...
You and fantasy? Never.
Just like... Why? Complicated. Just like go to work.
Brunch.
No. Not this dude, because I think meals with over six people are terrible.
Ooh.
I have no time for them.
So we're discussing quantity of the table, not what's on it.
I don't think is four people getting food on Saturday at like 1 p.m. brunch?
That's the entirety of Sex and the City's brunches,
That's true. Yeah, I'm fine as long as it's not like a production.
And finally, double-breasted blazers.
Oh, Arby approved.
Yeah?
They're phenomenal.
Do you have any?
I don't here.
Mm.
But, 'tis the season. Holiday parties.
Sure. So before we wrap up, I'm going to ask you what I always ask my guests, and that is, what was your first $1 million moment? That first time where you checked yourself out in the mirror before you walked out the door and just everything was working.
I remember... I think it was, I forget whose birthday party it was.
Well, that's important because all our readers know all of your middle school friends.
It was seventh grade. And I just got a pair of all white Air Force Ones, which I continued to wear for the next indefinite years.
Sure.
And it was like I had a cool pair of jeans and I had a good gray undershirt. And I had, oh my god, it's like literally like a shirt like this.
Okay. It's a like green plaid button-up from Dockers. Flannel. Sure.
I dress a lot now like the way I did when I was in seventh grade, where I just like keep comfy shirts unbuttoned. And I had like a fitted cap, like an ATL fitted cap. And I just like walked by the mirror and then like came back. And was like, I'm probably going to kiss a girl tonight. Because if it doesn't work now, then it'll never, ever work. And it did. And I think it's the thing, is like I got a compliment from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore like variations on the same outfit for like the next 3 years.
We had another guest that called out like super specific instances of like different times in his life where like a woman said something to him and he immediately just like folded it into his life.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, I do that now.
Yeah. And I think that anyone that says that isn't true is lying. It's like happened to me. I remember happening to me with suits once. I was like, oh, I need to get 10 of this suit tomorrow. just anything.
Yeah.
Haircuts. Oh, haircut. It just happens immediately. Anything. Any compliments.
Nice. Well, I think that's a perfect place to go out. Remember, Brown, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next Monday. Hopefully I won't sound like this when you hear from me next. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to Undressed on iTunes and rate it there. But only if that rating is like 5 stars and a comment is a nice one, because honestly, I don't want to hear it if it's not. So nice reviews or, I don't know, leave me alone. Huge thanks to Rembert Brown for spending time with me while I sound like this. Until next time, this is Undressed. I'm Megan Collins, a Style Girlfriend. Thanks for listening.